The other day I asked Mike if he would mind if I preached tonight, and he jumped on it like a dog would a bone. And let me tell you why. After 29 years in the pulpit, full-time pulpit work myself, I could probably count on one hand the number of times somebody has just said, let me fill in for you tonight, and you listen. And I appreciate when they did it, but it's not very often. I also wanted to bring a subject matter up that I think is important to us, bringing these things to our remembrance. And the key word in there is remembrance. I remember many years ago, I was preaching a short series that I had put together on the fundamentals of the faith. And after about the third or fourth one, I had a brother, in all honesty and in all kindness, he came to me, and he says, why are we talking about these things? We're all members of the church here. We know these things. And I said, well, basically for two reasons. Number one, we have young Christians here, haven't been here very long, haven't been members of the Lord's church that long. And number two, we have a tendency as human beings to forget if we're not careful. So we need to bring things to our remembrance. You know, God has blessed us with the gift of memory. And we realize that our memory can, at times, be seen to be either a blessing to us or a curse to us. You know, sometimes we'd like to forget some things, but God has put this thing within us, this ability to recall, and we can't seem to forget those things. Likewise, we have things that we would desperately love to remember, but if we don't remind ourselves on occasions, we'll forget those things. I can tell you by absolute fact here that the capacity to remember allows us to store important, if not vitally life-saving information up for ourselves. And our capacities to remember, to recall, are not all equal. I remember going to school back in Southwest many years ago, and I had a classmate that it seems as though you could say something one time to him, or he could read something one time, and it was like it was locked in. And I envied him. Maybe I shouldn't have envied him, but I turned green sometimes because I didn't have that ability. I had to drill things into my head repetitively over and over and over to get the same result that he had. So we realize they're not always equal, and we also realize sometimes because of our age that we find it difficult sometimes to recall everything. I'm getting some nodding from people who have gray on their head. And it's a reality. It's part of it. And it makes it all the more necessary for us as Christians to keep certain things in remembrance, to keep them before us. It is also clear, as I've studied God's Word, and by the way, after this brother asked that question of me, why are we doing this, it dawned on me that this would be a good subject matter, just to touch on. We're not going to be a long time tonight, but enough to touch on, just a smattering, if you will, of passages that tell us the value of reminding ourselves or bringing things to our remembrance. It's clear that God wants us to remember certain things. Jesus told his disciples to remember his sacrificial death on the cross when he instituted the Lord's Supper. In fact, isn't it wonderful that the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 24 and 25 actually bring this out to us, something that we do not have in Matthew, Mark, or Luke, and that is, Jesus said, this do in remembrance of me. And we'll talk more about 1 Corinthians 11, 24 and 25 here in just a moment. But it is critically important that we remember things. It's critically important that we keep things before us all the time. That constant reminder. I go over the book of Isaiah chapter 46. And I'm only going to take a couple of passages from the Old Testament. But this one I wanted to go to because God here is speaking to his people. And he's speaking to them from the standpoint of who he was and how he had uplifted his children, how he had held them up, how he had carried them along. And in fact, in verse 22 of chapter 45, he says, "Look to me and be saved, all your ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other." He wanted his people to remember these things, but sadly, the history of God's people of Old Testament times was not particularly good, was it? You think back of how many times they were on a roller coaster of faith. You look at the period of the judges, and constantly God had to send another judge, had to send another judge. We're in a different time frame here, but it's important for us to see these things. And notice what happens here as he begins to talk to them. And in verse, let's just pick up in, interestingly enough, verse 4 ties us this morning to the idea of those who had gray hair. He says, "Even to your old age I am he, and even to gray hairs I will carry you. I have made and I will bear, even I will carry and will deliver you." Now listen, he begins to ask a question here. "To whom will you liken me and make me equal and compare me that we should be alike?" Now listen to what he starts talking about here. "They lavish gold out of the bag, weigh silver on the scales, they hire a goldsmith, and he makes it a god." What was the problem? They weren't staying with God, the very one who upheld them, the one who carried them along, the one who their strength should have been, but rather they began to do what? Make for themselves a god. They prostrated themselves. Yes, they worship. They bear it on the shoulders. They carry it and set it in its places, and it stands from its place. It shall not move. Though one cries out to it, yet it cannot answer, nor save him out of his trouble. He is emphasizing here the futility of leaving God. He's emphasizing the fact that their gods that they had fashioned with their hands could not answer, could not respond. If they cried out for help, that image that had been made just sat there, just stood there, didn't accomplish anything. But then let's notice as we pick up in verse 8 and read verses 9, we'll read through verse 9. "Remember this and show yourselves men. Recall," did you hear that? "Recall to mind, O you transgressors, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from the ancient times things are not yet done, saying my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure." Think about what he said there. Remember this. Remember the former things. Recall to mind. All of these are terminologies and words that he was trying to help them to understand, trying to get them to realize that left God, they had left him and gone after false gods, gods that could do nothing. He says, "Come back to me. Think about these things. Remind yourself of these things." We can go over the book of Malachi, chapter 3 and verse 16. It says, "Those who feared the Lord spoke to none other, and the Lord listened and heard them." Now listen, so a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. Brethren, stop and think about this for just a moment. Do we not have a marvelous book of remembrance? We go over the passages that we know well in the New Testament that tell us that the things that were written aforetime were written for our learning. That means we need to go back and remind ourselves of the things that transpired in the days of old, in the days that God had a select people, an elect people, the Hebrew nation, but they had turned their back. Learn from those things. Learn from these things. And then we have this great book before us that we can use. It's a book of remembrance. Think about Matthew 26:75. Boy, this is one of the most powerful things that you can possibly think about from the standpoint of remembrance. Remember here that Peter in Matthew 26:33 said to the Lord, "Oh, others may stumble, Lord, but I will never be made to stumble." Just two verses later, he really stuck his foot in it, so to speak. He says, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." Boy, you see an impetuous side of Peter here. You see a Peter that says, "Oh, I'm confident, Lord, this, I will never do something like that. Oh, these others, they may fail you, but I'll never do that. I'll not stumble, and even if I have to die for you, I'll do that." But do you remember what happened? That Peter actually cursed and said, "I do not know him." And that's when we read that Peter, quote, remembered the word of Jesus who had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Oh boy, let's talk about a sad remembrance on his part. It had to be something that reverberated through him. The idea that, yes, even Jesus said, "You're going to deny me." Oh no, that's not me, Lord. John might, somebody else, not me. Only to find out that he was at fault. And interestingly enough, this particular story, in one form or another, is found in Mark 14:26-31, Luke 22:34-39, and John 13:36-38. All four of the gospel accounts have this story in it. Why? Because he remembered his failures. Look at John 14:26. Turn there in your Bibles there and notice what Jesus says here. He says here, "But the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name," listen, "he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." Boy, how powerful and how important was that going to be to the disciples, those who would be recognized as his apostles? They didn't have this book written for them. They didn't have everything written down that Jesus had said. They weren't carrying around scrolls of all the things that Jesus said for the last 3 years of his life as they traveled with him. So they were going to have something that was going to bring to their remembrances all the things that Jesus said. You see, that idea of remembrance is important. That idea of bringing things to our remembrance is an important thing, reminding ourselves of things. We need to remind ourselves every day of the blessings that life has bestowed upon us because we are Christians. And we could go on all evening with those kinds of ideas and illustrations, if you will. John 15:20. Remember what Jesus said there again to the disciples? He says, "Remember the word that I said to you," and you can go back to John 13:16 and see this. He says, "A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you." Remember that. Folks, now we're not being persecuted as the disciples were in the days of Jesus and other times and in other countries. But folks, we need to realize, we need to remember, yes, sometimes if we're going to be faithful to the cause of Christ, if we're going to be what God wants us to be, we're going to endure persecution. It may not always be in a physical sense. It may be some other way, but the reality is, "Yea, and all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." We need to remember that. We need to use that as a tool or a mechanism to bolster ourselves and strengthen ourselves. Think about 2 Peter 1:12-15. "For this reason," Peter says, "I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things." Now listen, though you know and are established in the present truth. You see what Peter was saying here. He says, I am not going to fall down on the job. I'm not going to neglect to remind you of these things. And we're going to look at those things in just a moment. Even though you know them. Even though you are established in them. That tells me that as a Christian, I need to continue to go back and study certain things. Yes, I know certain things. Yes, I'm already aware of certain things. But it doesn't hurt for me as a Christian to make sure that I am keeping these things in the forefront of my mind. So he goes on by saying, you are established in the present truth. He says, yes, I think it right, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by reminding you. He goes on by saying, moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a remembrance of these things after my decease. You see, Peter realized that the time would come that he wasn't going to be there anymore. And these Christians that, who were, by the way, were undergoing persecution at the time, that's why there was this great distribution of Christians all over the place. See, so he's saying here, I want to remind you, you know these things, but I want to remind you anyway. I'm going to stir you up by reminding you. I want you to have a remembrance of these things when I'm gone. Well, what was he talking about? Interestingly enough, this is actually a powerful passage here. If you start in verse 2, remember it was Simon Peter, a bondservant, verse 1 of the apostle of Jesus Christ. But notice verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us by glory and virtue. If you stop right there, look at what he's saying. He's saying, remember, folks, that you have everything you need. He says, all things are involved in this. But don't stop there. Go to verse 4. By which you have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. And through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world. You see, we can escape this world, the corruption of the world. And Peter's reminding them of this. And then we go into what sometimes we have referred to as the Christian graces. He says here, that, but also for this reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance or patience, endurance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, remember these things is what he's trying to say. I want you to keep these things in your mind. I want you to keep these things as part of your remembrance. But he doesn't stop there. In verse 9 he says, for he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. Well, how are we going to do those things to where we don't stumble? Keep them in the forefront of our minds. All of these things are critical to that. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's what prompted Peter to write, I'm not going to be negligent to remind you of these things. I want to keep these things in the forefront of your minds. You've been given everything you need to be a Christian, be faithful to God. The word in this day and age that we live in is already put together for us. We have everything that we need. And on top of that, we have precious and exceeding promises given to us. Keep those things in the forefront of our minds. Why? Because we don't want to be short-sighted. We don't want to be short-sighted even to the point of being blinded. We don't want to be those who have forgotten that we have been cleansed with the precious blood of Christ. Our sins have been washed away. Might want to turn real quickly. Well, I tell you what, let's talk about something else for just a moment. I made mention of the fact just a moment ago that there are certain things that I guess from the time that we obeyed the gospel, we have been taught these things, we've heard these things, and that's what prompted us to obey the gospel. But we already know that baptism is essential to salvation, don't we? Well, of course we do. Acts 2, verse 38, Peter said, repent every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, or and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. We understand that it is for the remission of sins. Paul would go on to add to that idea that we are washed of our sins. Baptism washes our sins away, Acts 22 and verse 16. We see in 1 Peter chapter 3, 20 and 21, that baptism also now saves us. So we know those things. But you know what? It's good for us to continue to remind ourselves, to bring these things to our remembrance, so that we actually do have that ready recollection to teach others, to be ready for that. We understand, don't we, that we are to lay by and store up on the first day of the week. We're to give back to the work of the church, 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. So why do we need to continue to teach that? To keep that in the forefront of our minds, because this is how we fund the work of the church so that the gospel can get out so that souls can be saved. We understand that we are to partake of the Lord's Supper every first day of the week, don't we? Jesus instituted it. We have that account in Matthew 26, Mark 14, and Luke chapter 22. It's in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7 that we learn the frequency of it upon the first day of the week. And it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 23 through 29 that we learn that we do this as a memorial and we proclaim this until the Lord comes. That's the duration of it. We proclaim that our Lord is coming back. What a powerful thing we have here. We could think about all sorts of different avenues along these lines. But we have enough here to realize that we need to keep these things in our forefront of mind, even when we already know them. Think about 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1. He says, beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in which, he says, I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Let's look at that very quickly over there, because it doesn't stop right there. Notice verse 2. Remember the words of the prophets and the apostles is what Peter's writing here. That you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles, excuse me, of the Lord and Savior. But don't stop there. Go on and read verses 3, 4, and 5 with me. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers have fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully, what? Forget that by the word of God the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water by which the world that then existed perished being flooded with water. In other words, what a foolish concept to say, well, you know, from the time of the fathers, it's still standing, the earth is still here. Well, that kind of reasoning can get you in trouble. You see, I can have an attitude that says, well, you know, I've lived for 67 years on this earth and I haven't died yet. And therefore, I'm obviously not going to die. Nobody would believe that, would they? Nobody would think like that. And yet we have people who live like that. Well, you know, I've got plenty of time. I've got all the time in the world. I'm a young person still. And I can obey the gospel, or I can be faithful to God later on in my life. But the truth be known, we don't know when that time is. And he shows the foolishness and the fallacy here of that kind of thing. And their problem was is they willfully forgot. Folks, we need to be reminded on a regular basis. Jude chapter 5, he says, but I want to remind you, though you once knew this. Now that indicates that maybe some of them had forgotten. Though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. Remember what Jude originally desired to do? He wanted to come to them with a topic that we're all so vitally interested in, our common salvation. But he said their problem is we have had false teachers creeping in, and you need to hear this. And evidently, I'm going to suggest again by the wording that there were those who had forgotten. Look at Jude 17, verse 18. Jude verse 17, verse 18. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. They needed to remember this. We need to remember this. There are going to be people all through our lives that will try, via Satan, will try to get you to believe that what you're studying in the Bible is not even true. It's not even worthwhile. Then we turn over and our last two passages come from Revelation chapter 2 and Revelation chapter 3. To the church at Ephesus, he said, remember therefore from where you have fallen. Folks, if we find ourselves in a situation where we are no longer serving God as we know we should, living our life in a way that God would be pleased with, we need to remember where we have fallen from. And folks, what we will have fallen from is the greatest place in the world, and that is in the Lord's body, in the church, and in a right, saved relationship with Him. Remember Revelation chapter 3 and verse 3, the church at Sardis, remember that? He said, remember therefore how you have received and heard, and hold fast and repent. The things that you have received, the things that you have heard, hold on to them. Remember those things. Again, we go back to the necessity, the need for us as Christians to have that mindset of always keeping things in the forefront of our mind. Remind ourselves. Remember these things. Recall what God has done for us and what He has given us. God has blessed us with a memory, and it is a wonderful thing. I'm going to suggest to you that we regard it maybe as one of the greatest blessings that God has given man, the ability to recall, the ability to look back at our life and say, okay, I have not been living as God would have me, but I know where to go to get it and come back to God. Through His love of mankind, by inspiration, God has given us His all-sufficient Word. May we remember what we left to become a Christian and God's promises to us if we remain faithful to the end. That's a matter of remembering. That's a matter of keeping these things in the forefront of our mind. The invitation plea is always extended. I have asked earlier on that Chad lead one verse of this song, and only one verse. Why is that? Because on Judgment Day, when we don't know the time, the day, the hour, the minute, the second, that will be one more verse than we'll get on that Judgment Day if we're not faithful. There won't be an invitation call. There won't be an invitation plea. There won't be a time, okay, you haven't lived the way you're supposed to be living. I'm giving you an opportunity to make it right now. No, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, that time will be upon us. If you've never been obedient to the gospel call, and yet you know what you need to do to be saved, You've heard God's word. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing the word of God. And you believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And you're ready to repent of your sins. Turn away from a life of sin and toward God. And you're ready to confess the name of Jesus. Then you're ready to be baptized. We ask a simple question, why not tonight? Why not make that decision now? Maybe it is the case that you're a child of God and you strayed away and you've not allowed your memory to work sometimes to reflect back and to think back why you left the world to become a child of God and maybe why you've left God now to become part of the world and you're ready to come back now. Can you think of a better time than right now? If you need to respond to the invitation plea, won't you do that right now as we stand and sing this song?